Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Six ten here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This hour, I want to start with a story that is, it's amazing. And, sometimes I might say that and you might think, is it really? Oh, yeah. No, this is really genuinely, like, unbelievable kind of stuff. Now, I'll warn you, I'm going to play a couple of audio clips here, and they're pretty awful. Okay, there's a real mild profanity in them. Okay, it's nothing. It's an FCC violation. The subject matter is racist. Okay, and this is all from a principal, okay, all from a principal at a high school in the Baltimore vicinity, and I'm going to play some of the clips, and then we're going to talk about the significance of this story. Yes, he's been put on administrative leave. This all surfaced back in January, and it's kind of percolated up to be a national story today. So this is audio from the principal in January. Here you go. And again, it's pretty stern stuff, okay?
I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day.
Yeah, okay, that's not so bad.
Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations?
Okay.
Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired.
That's two employees.
And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag his black ass out of here one way or another. I'm going to get something to stick.
I'm going to get something to stick, meaning I'll fabricate stuff if I need to fabricate it.
I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people.
And also...
And if I have to get one more complaint from...
Oh, by the way, this is like the worst of them all in a way. I mean, the black students one is pretty bad, but this is the worst of them all.
And if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side.
So you can understand why they suspended the principal and did an investigation to figure out what was going on. Now, here's the thing. It's all fake. They were fake audio clips generated online by AI by the athletic director of the school, allegedly, because he hadn't been convicted yet, who was upset at the principal for investigating him for misusing funds at the school. The athletic director, by the way, is a black guy. So a black guy athletic director at the school, Dejon Darian, allegedly fabricates, I mean, the principal said he never said any of this stuff ever. He goes online. They've looked at the computers. They say the computers show, searches for like OpenAI and free AI and how to generate voices. He used a voice sample from the principal, told the AI, read this script, read this script, read this script, put it all in a recording, sent it to employees that he thought maybe didn't like the principal. I believe employees is who they were. And at least one of them said, oh, hell no, put it out on social media. It blows up. It gets the principal suspended. He's getting, I'm sure, all kinds of interesting mail and phone calls. And, students online saying, oh, this is no surprise. I knew immediately he should be fired. And now they have come out and the police chief of Baltimore County said,
detectives allege Mr. Darian, who was the athletic director at the high school, made the recording to retaliate against the principal who had launched an investigation into the potential mishandling of school funds.
Oh, and by the way, the reason they caught this guy, because he was, well, we don't know if he was fleeing, but they did catch him trying to get on a plane to go to Texas, I believe, if I remember correctly. The reason they caught him is because, the reason he was in custody, he had a gun with him on the plane. So, this is like, you can't make this up. If you made this in a movie, you wouldn't believe anybody would be this crazy to do. This is the world of AI. Welcome to the future. I don't know what else to tell you except that we are in a horrifying place because Look, you know, I make my living being on the radio every day and talking. You know, I say enough things, I'm sure, but anybody could go fabricate something about me or about, you know, Jeff Bergosh or about Ron DeSantis or whatever. And how would you know it's true? The reason they figured it out is because the recording just didn't quite sound right in the end. There was some missing, you know, spaces and pauses and breaths and stuff like that. So, yeah, thank God so far justice seems to be in the offing. But, man, he can't go back to that school. He can't go back to that community. He's never going to get his name cleared, not really, in public. 437-1620. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are looking pretty good here in Pensacola this morning. Just some of that morning traffic buildup, especially on Palafox Road and Tahar, in between Tahar and Jordan Street on Palafox. Other than that, looking pretty good. I-10, I-110 all looking good. No traffic on Gulf Beach Highway, really. And coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, looking good. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Florabama's mullet toss, which will feature state line revelers heaving dead fish for distance, prizes, and social recognition at the massive annual event this weekend. Despite being wildly popular, this annual festival of cruelty has finally gotten the criticism it deserves from the high priestesses of virtue at PETA. As president of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Ingrid Newkirk wrote in a missive to the Florabama, "Every fish whose body is treated like a hacky sack at this event was once an individual who had a life precious to them, swam free, had feelings, and didn't want to die." as she patiently explained to the recalcitrant leaders of the embodiment of Lower Alabama high culture. Let's face it, every fish thrown by a Floribama mullet toss participant was an individual who suffered greatly and was violently slaughtered before being used in this disrespectful way. She's so right. Just imagine what the other mullet would think. If any of them could peek one shiny eyeball out of the water and survey the carnage of this truly gruesome spectacle in which thousands of nearly naked beachgoers take turns desecrating the recently unalived corpses of innocent mullet by throwing them for distance across the state line between Florida and Alabama. Knowing the depths of sensitivity and intelligence which all mullet demonstrate, I imagine they would be devastated by the spectacle. Now, once you realize that treating their murdered brethren and sistren and otherin fish this way is fundamentally wrong, is there some way to rescue the fun without engaging in the moral turpitude? Once again, PETA to the rescue, as they smartly offered to furnish the Floribama with a sufficient supply of reusable rubber imitation fish to use instead, as well as offering to cater the event with vegan fish sandwiches, making the fun inclusive to even those with the most strict of personal consciences. Once upon a time, people thought it was funny to throw citizens of non-average height for sport. We no longer do, and we can only hope that in the near future we will realize that we shouldn't throw anything with a face for entertainment. If you can't toss a dwarf, you shouldn't toss a mullet. That's the lesson, in short. So once again, our hats off to the brilliant and loving thought leaders at PETA for all showing us all a better way to beach. Woe unto all who offend. Second, the state of Florida. Again, this time for passing a law requiring that every Florida school child be taught the truth about communism every year. No! This is terrible news because, as you all know, we are deeply sincere advocates of this system of justice and reform. Long live the proletariat. But we just know that the right-wing dominated bigotopia of Florida will not treat this subject fairly. We fear that the Department of Education, led by Manny Diaz, will fail to focus on all the great things about communism, such as the way everyone gets to dress the same and not have to worry about individual personality and personal expression. They won't tell children how invigorating it is for the soul to stand in line for hours every day just for the chance to purchase whatever meat becomes available in the government-run grocery stores. They will never explain how comforting it is to know that your government loves you so much that it builds walls to keep you in, so you can enjoy the benefits of its highly evolved system of universal squalor, a condition of minimal subsistence exceeded in its glory only by the inability to pray and worship God unless the state approves of your religion ahead of time. They probably won't even talk about how wonderful it is to live in a system of rules that allow you the great joy of never having to make a real decision for yourself. You won't have to worry about having anything stolen from you because you aren't allowed to own private property. You don't have to worry about failing in business because the state owns and runs all the businesses. And as far as fashion goes, there are three different shades of gray to choose from. No, those horrible Republicans will probably only focus on things like political repression, state control of all media, denial of basic human rights, and the imprisonment and murder of more than 100 million people in so-called communist countries in the 20th century. As we all know, communism is a wonderful system of equality, justice, and virtue. The only problem is it's never really been done in the right way. And one of these days, we will definitely prove the naysayers wrong. After we execute them, of course. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, overly slow and overly fast music. As Ramzan Kadyrov, the leader of the Russian Republic of Chechnya, recently approved the Ministry of Culture's recommendation to ban the public playing of destabilizing Western music, which is either below 80 beats per minute or above 116 beats per minute. Yes, following a long track record of imposing strict Muslim values on its subjects, such as requiring headscarves, long sleeves, long skirts for women in public, stifling all political dissent, and denying the existence of gay men in Chechnya, Kadyrov's new rule will ensure that all music and dance productions conform to what he calls Chechen mentality and musical rhythm. As an example of music that is too slow, Taylor Swift's Lover and as an example of music that's too fast, Taylor Swift's Shake It Off and And as an example of music that's just right, Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer. Yes, just like the Goldilocks she is, Taylor Swift finally got it just right. You see, this creates nice, stable boundaries of reason within which all music can be safely played at a medium, tepid speed that is neither depressing nor stimulating. Now, ordinarily, we would be very worried about the loss of female freedom, the lack of political dissent, the suppression of any people of the holy acronym string, and obviously, any negative mention of Her Highness Taylor Swift in any context at all. However, in this case, we see something very important to celebrate. Following a tradition in political philosophy that goes all the way back to Plato, Katerov is acting on a very wise premise. If you want to control a people, you must control its culture. And if you want to control a culture, you must control its art and music. As every great leader in modern history from Joseph Stalin to Mao Zedong to Fidel Castro to Benito Mussolini has shown, putting the government in charge of music and art is an essential form of virtue promotion. And what could be simpler than making sure all good Chechnyans only dance within certain rates of speed as a way of teaching them to submit to the wise leadership of their virtue overlords? Always remember your Porshinsky. In order for people to obey large irrational commands, they must first practice obeying small irrational commands. And what could be more irrational than deciding which music is legal based entirely on its speed? Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please take a moment to say a mantra for, or two even, for the brave students around the nation who are protesting on college campuses on behalf of the Palestinians in Gaza, and reminding the world what all enlightened people believe, that the Jews really do not deserve a country of their own, or to have security from terrorist attacks, or to exist. So obvious. Refreshments this week are provided by Give Pez a Chance, the nutritional digestive aid shaped like a child's candy that you can put right in your Pez dispenser and pretend to enjoy once a day. Made without sugar, or any flavorings, plus a triple dose of unsatisfying carob powder, Give Pez a Chance will keep you regular and healthy without any risk you'll actually enjoy eating them. Give Pez a Chance. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 News Radio 92.3. I remind you that they're all real stories. They are all real. Anyway, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are looking all good here in Pensacola this morning. Just seeing some regular morning traffic build up, especially on North Palafox Street in between Tahar and Jordan, and on Brent at the intersection of I-10. The intersection of Brent and I-110. Otherwise, I-10 is looking good. If you're coming into Pensacola from Pace and Milton, you should be clear to go. And Golf Breeze and Navarre looking pretty good. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hundreds of people across the U.S. have been arrested in the past few weeks for protesting the Gaza war.
Coast to coast, growing protests on more college campuses over the Israel-Hamas war, from George Washington University to Northeastern, to Emory and Atlanta, where police and riot gear clashed with demonstrators.
I go to the school!
Protests have sprung up across the country since the NYPD arrested over 100 demonstrators at Columbia University on April 18th. The New York Times says since then, protesting students have been setting up tents at campuses across the country. Over 400 arrests have been made. In total, last night was the first night of the NFL draft, and it had its fair share of offensive players fly off the board.
Wait, offensive players?
That's what it says.
Offensive players. I'm like, what did they say?
Well, offensive players can be offensive
That's
at
right.
times.
Sure, they can.
A record of 23 offensive players were taken in the first round. The Bears kicked off the night by selecting USC quarterback Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. Another highlight of the draft last night. Tony Khan from the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't know if you saw this, he showed up wearing a neck brace, apparently selling an injury from his All Elite Wrestling show on Wednesday night.
I saw the picture, but I didn't know the context, so thank you for explaining that to me. That's hilarious. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 629 on News Radio 92.3. If you're putting off the decision to get that next vehicle, you know you do, because nobody likes buying a car. It's not fun. You know, it's time-consuming. You feel like you're going to make a wrong choice no matter what you do. You feel like you're going to pay too much or they're going to take advantage of you, and it's just not, like, all of it. Okay, Frontier gets that, and so they have specifically set out to make the car buying experience as unpainful as possible. You know, the cars are open. You don't have to ask for permission to get in them. You can drive any car you want to drive. When you look at a price sheet, it's all the everything's included all the way to the bottom line out-the-door price. That's the only thing you ever negotiate. There's not, like, changes after that that you don't expect. They put a Carfax on the back of there. In fact, if you're buying a car from somebody else even, you can call them with the VIN and get a Carfax from them, even though they don't benefit. Why would they do that? Because they can, and it's helpful. And there's, you know, just things along the way and even after the fact that will surprise you in a good way. So here's what I'm saying. Frontier Motors gave me the best car buying experience I have ever had, and I know that's the same story that so many other people have. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. After more than 3 hours of arguments, it's possible the Supreme Court could have a lower court decide whether former President Trump was acting in an official capacity trying to overturn election results, making him immune from prosecution on some charges.
Justices probed limits like accepting a bribe or even assassinating a political rival, as Justice Sonia Sotomayor put in a hypothetical.
Is that within his official acts that for which he's can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
Other justices worried about opening a precedent that does not shield presidents from abuse from overzealous prosecutors.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Biden administration is expected to announce today $6 billion in long-term defense contracts to provide Ukraine's military with weapons and equipment, including more air defense munitions. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 65 degrees, clear skies. Looks like a beautiful morning outside right now. Santa Rosa County leaders tabling a plan that led to a chaotic meeting which lasted well over 5 hours. According to the agenda item description, county staff had been working to identify property that could potentially be acquired to expand the Pea Ridge connector northward to Berry Hill Road. The owner of a three-acre parcel east of Hayes Ranch agreed to accept $150,000 and a county-owned parcel of less than an acre. Public outrage, though, largely centered around a conceptual map obtained through a public records request earlier in the week, then it was shared on social media.
The commissioners had not seen that map, none of them. We weren't hiding it from them. We do conceptual stuff every day just to look and see if something's even possible. We haven't even determined that this is possible yet. It's a discussion. Well, and it may.
Outgoing County Administrator Devan Cook offering that explanation at the meeting. Many residents brought up fears the county could exercise eminent domain to cut through properties. County commissioners decided to set a public hearing next month for the purpose of buying property specifically to install a drainage pond for the widening of Berry Hill Road. Pensacola Energy receiving a big grant thanks to the Department of Transportation. That grant will be for the purpose of replacing unprotected bare steel mains with polyethylene pipe.
What that means for us is taking out 50, 60, 70-year-old pipe in some of our most vulnerable communities and replacing that with the most modern technology that not only is reliable, good for our environment, but also creates economic opportunity.
And just over $6 million of that money will be used at Green Hut Court. They've got about 10 miles of mains and services from the 50s to replace there. About $4 million being dedicated towards a similar project at Peachtree Park, where they have 5 miles that need to be replaced. Well, this week we learned scam artists have been at it again, trying to dupe people here in our area into believing they're Pensacola police officers.
We had one individual lose $49,000 of savings to a scammer. And, you know, if you know people that are not just the elderly, but the people just trust others. And I got to tell you, these scams are they use caller ID information. They put it in there that shows at times it's been Pensacola Police Department. They use officers that names of officers that actually work there.
PPD's Mike Wood, he tells News Radio the phone scams can be very convincing, but he says that real officers would never demand payment over the phone, especially with unusual methods. Wood has this advice if you believe you're talking to a potential phone scammer.
If there's any doubt in your mind, if you trust your gut feeling, hang up on those people and don't give them a cent.
And get your rods and reels ready. Good news. The Pensacola Beach Fishing Pier is reopened as of today. It's going to be open 7 days a week, sunrise to sunset. Repair work for that pier has been ongoing since December. They've been replacing signage, lighting, water lines, and the entrance gate, also all brand new. They've also added new benches, trash cans, and fishing rails. Minor work still has to be done, including some lighting installation and repairs to the deck panels. But good news, that's back open. 6:35 right now. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
We are looking pretty good here in Pensacola. Other than that, I mean, if you're coming in from Pace and Milton, you might experience some slowdowns on the bridge. And then coming in from Pace and Milton again on Davis Highway, might see some slowdowns as well. Other than that, looking pretty good in Pensacola. If you see anything on the road this morning, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate that. 6:35, Channel 3 weather.
A beautiful day today with quite the breeze for the afternoon. Winds coming in from the southeast at about 15 to 20 miles an hour. Highs today near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Beautiful weather on Saturday as well with the breezy conditions continuing. High near 78. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
65 in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Southwest Airlines has revealed it lost $231 million in the fourth quarter because of Boeing's quality control crisis. As a result, the airline will be implementing cost control initiatives, which include a halt in hiring and offering voluntary time off. The carrier expects to end the year with 2,000 fewer employees compared to the end of last year. This news comes one day after Southwest revealed it will cease operations at fourth airports in Texas, Washington, Mexico, and New York. According to an SEC filing, former Tesla SVP Drew Baglino, who announced his resignation earlier this month, is selling just over 1 million of his shares in the company, and they're worth roughly $181 million. Tesla is amid a broad restructuring, cutting more than 10% of its global headcount. Futures are moderately higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 375. That's Your Money Now.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 18th at 8:15. This inaugural fun run starts at Community Maritime Park and runs along Bayfront, down to Veterans Park, and back to Community Maritime Park. Register now and receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and a race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Community Maritime Park, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
News Radio Pensacola.
Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Change would be specifically to impose a cap or a limit on the number of honors or weighted credits that can be utilized in calculating a student's GPA, class rank, and ultimately for the determination of valedictorian or salutatorian. At first, we were hoping that this we proposed this idea only for the IB program, but I understand that the school district staff is now considering it for all high schools.
This is Bruce Partington, a parent, speaking at, and you know, local here, speaking at the Escambia County School Board meeting. This is, about 10 days ago, I think. And talking about the problem with honors courses and the weighting at honors courses that goes into your grade point average. As you know, the International Baccalaureate program, IB program at PHS, is very, very competitive. And, you know, you have these very high performing students. And when you take an honors course, in case you don't remember how this works, you don't have kids in school, basically, and I don't remember the exact formula that Escambia uses. It struck me as kind of weird when I looked into it a couple of years ago. But, for example, typically, you know, an A might get you 4 points, a B might get you 3 points, a C might get you 2 points. And then if you have an honors A, there's all different kinds of systems. It might get you 5 points instead of four, or it might get you six instead of four. Or in my high school, when we did it, it got you a multiplier. It gave you 1.3. So an A was worth 5.2 and a B was worth 3.9. In any case, the point is that if students are all taking these classes, if you take honors courses, you get weighted benefit. And in order to win as valedictorian, you've got to take as many honors courses, because if everybody's got straight A's and some people have more weighted classes than others, well, they're going to win based on the math.
The stress that high school creates, coupled with the availability of virtual school and dual enrollment, it is likely that driven students who are already dealing with tremendous pressure might feel the need that it would be necessary to enroll in additional outside coursework beyond their regular curriculum to boost their GPA and improve their class rank.
If you take seven classes a semester over eight semesters, that's 56 classes. If they're all honors classes, but somebody can take a summer course and it can also be weighted, well, all of a sudden, you can push your GPA up even higher by taking extra courses. And what he's trying to get the school board to agree to is that they should have a limit on how many weighted grades will count towards your GPA, will count towards your class status, your class rank at 56. You know, make that the maximum.
Now, our son was one of four valedictorians the year he graduated, and he maxed out his GPA and his ability to earn weighted credits through taking the regular coursework at the program. We are advocating that the idea of an honors cap be memorialized formally in the district's progression plan. By enforcing a cap on the amount of honors or weighted credits that can be earned in high school, students will be disincentivized from going overboard and wearing themselves out.
Exactly. And you don't need that, especially you don't need it in the summer or during the year doing, you know, virtual school that will add these additional classes, because there's some real horror stories out there I'll get to in just a second. And by the way, in case you wonder, I mean, this is, again, for the kids at IB, but also the kids at any high school, you know, the advanced coursework that those kids are all kind of taking classes together, and they're all competing with each other. And, you know, fractions of a point can make the difference between whether you're first, fifth, or tenth, or whatever.
Currently, there is a seven-way tie in the rising senior class at IB for valedictorian. Those seven kids have now started looking over their shoulders, wondering if they need to take extra courses over the summer to try to keep the position that they've already worked so hard to obtain. But they don't want to spend their time that way. Rather, they're happy to have a cap on the amount of weighted credits they can earn so they can have a break and a more balanced approach to their summer. That's what they understood the policy to be when they started at IB.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is that, you know, their IB, by the way, has an informal agreement that you can only do so many. But, you know, that's all of a sudden a prisoner's dilemma. Like, you're counting on all the other kids to not do more or do extra that gets counted. And then suddenly somebody shows up in the last semester with extra credit. And you're like, what the? Yeah, we had a thing going. And, you know, that's the problem. And if you want, like, to compare this, okay, this is a guy named Zach Jenkins, who's also a parent at IB.
Wife a couple of weeks ago mentioned that a friend of hers posted on Facebook that her daughter graduated and with a 9.2 GPA. This is in Hillsborough County, and as I said, that had to be a typo. I looked it up. It was not a typo. They published a list of the valedictorians and salutatorians where they have no cap on the number of honors credits you can earn. And their most recent graduates, they had a valedictorian with an 11.8 GPA.
Good Lord.
The average GPA of their students, of their valedictorians and student and salutatorians was 7.65.
Good Lord. I mean, this is, for perspective, again, 56 credits is a normal full schedule.
They've got a little different weighting system, but basically that 11.8 equates to somewhere between 100 and 200 weighted courses in 4 years. So that means they're taking anywhere from 4 to 6, maybe 8 courses on top of the 7 courses they take during the year. That's what having no limit does to kids who are hyper-competitive.
Just to be valedictorian, again, with the online and the summer courses and all of that. And so, you know, one of the problems here is it's really bad for students' mental health. Even Hillsborough County acknowledges this. It's bad enough for these kids to be under the stress and pressure of being the high performers. But also, you know, this puts it, so if that system is what you use, now all of a sudden, poor kids who cannot possibly afford to do the summer courses and the after-school courses and the take 10 courses at a time kind of stuff, it makes it impossible for them to even be competitive in this system, so it winds up being discriminatory. We'll come back to this in a second, because this is something that affects, you know, any high school students that are high performers, okay? And you have, you know, this is sort of the best of the high school students at any high school, let alone at IB. And coming up with a good policy is, I think, really important for the school board. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
This traffic report is brought to you by Direct Auto. If you're coming in from Pace or Milton, you might experience some slowdowns on the bridge and coming off the bridge at the Scenic Highway intersection. Southbound on North Palafox Road, we're seeing some traffic build up between Tahar and Jordan Streets. And if you're heading northbound on 9th Avenue from Bayfront Parkway, we're seeing some slight build up as well this morning. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Don't let your expensive car insurance compromise how you get around. Stop compromising. Keep driving with Direct Auto. Get a free quote at directauto.com. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the discussion, not just about the International Baccalaureate Program at PHS and grade weighting and what counts for these kids, but also at all of the other schools in Escambia County. Because, again, if you're just joining us, the problem right now is that there's been an informal rule that you can only count so many honors or weighted courses towards your GPA. But if somebody violates that, or if they change that rule or don't formalize that rule, and also, you know, the rule at other schools in the district, all of a sudden you're going to have kids taking extra classes during the year and extra classes in summer, pushing everything else aside. One of the other speakers there, Victor Holstra, another parent at IB, but his wife is a doctor.
He agrees that the cap would be very beneficial. She sees younger patients at her primary care practice and has a lot of them that do have, I won't say burnout yet, but are already feeling pressures and whatnot. And she was very strong about her opinion on this, that it would be beneficial to the kids.
Right. This is a doctor's opinion being relayed by her husband.
She would not let them go if we would not have had opportunities to have a break during the summer. My daughter does golf, and this is a very important summer for her, for colleges. She has to go compete in tournaments, South Florida and everywhere. And if she had to take an honors class, she wouldn't be able to if she's going to try to get the scholarships and everything through golf. And I guess conversely, she doesn't want to lose her chance to be valedictorian, trying to be well-rounded. It's almost like a penalty.
I mean, these kids are, some of them are trying to be exactly what we want out of students. They're trying to have jobs or volunteer in the summer or play a sport on top. And, you know, if they're, you know, in order to be competitive, because, you know, that GPA and class rank, and we're talking about kids that are going to be applying to the best schools in the nation. And if, you know, if you're number 10 in your class versus number 1 in your class, you know, I mean, you're just not getting into Harvard, right? But do you want that to be the trade-off of them being able to have a, you know, a well-balanced life with lots of other kinds of endeavors? This is Paul Turner.
There has been a longstanding There has been a longstanding informal policy at PHSIB that does not allow students to take more than the 56 hours over the 4 years, seven classes each year. We recently found out that this had changed and caused much concern and stress on our kids. As soon as the students found out that they could take classes during the summer to game the system, you had students asking about taking these extra classes.
Right. And even the seven that are in the 11th graders who are now in line to be valedictorian next year, all of whom have straight A's and 56 weighted credits coming, you know, they've, I mean, I assume that right now they're sitting at, what, 42. They don't want this. They don't want what it would do to their schooling or their system or their trust in their fellow students if it were opened up to take everything you want and get the extra credit for it.
I spoke with many of these students. I asked the question to the children, do you want to take extra classes over the summer? Every single student that I talked to answered no. These were the valedictorians and the salutatorians in the class. They do not want to take more classes. They want to volunteer during the summer. They want to work at a summer job. They want to relax. They want to go on vacation with their family. But they are being forced to consider taking an extra class or five in order to keep their class rank that they have worked so hard for. How is this good or healthy for our kids? As a parent, I want my son to have balance and rest and spend his time in meaningful ways over the summer.
100% agree. I mean, this is a very reasonable request. They're trying to preserve something good to protect kind of the life and life quality for these students who, I mean, I can't even imagine. And I was, I mean, I was, gosh, I think I was 10th in my class of 500. And it's kind of funny because there were a lot of us that had straight A's in high school. And the reason that the lady got to be valedictorian, you know, Tracy Lee was the valedictorian at our high school, because she realized before any of us did that if you took a regular class like typing and you took it pass fail, then it didn't count against your grade point average. Because it didn't bring it down, because only a four would bring it down. And once the rest of us figured that out, we started taking class. But, like, she didn't get better grades than anybody. She just, you know, and that kind of gaming of the system makes you feel like, what are we doing here? So trying to come up with something. And by the way, people might ask the question, I know it's a fair question to ask, why would an honors class or an AP class, why would that get extra weight in your grade point compared to another class? Because if it's only worth a four, guess which class they're going to take? They'll take the regular class instead. And you want these kids taking, you know, the high-performing class. That's what you want them taking. But it really does represent a greater amount of work, a higher degree of work, and a greater achievement. And I think there's a good conversation to be had about, you know, who has access to these classes. But generally speaking, if you would have a chance of doing well in them, you have access to them. And the kids who do not have access to them should not be in them. I mean, it's different. Your AP chemistry versus, or your honors chemistry versus your regular chemistry is, you know, it's a lot. 6:52 on news. So I hope the school board does the right thing in this regard, what I think to be the right thing in this regard. And I think these parents are asking for a very reasonable limitation on this. Again, not just for IB, but for all of the students in all of the high schools across the county. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you have a home improvement project that you're working on, you need supplies or, you know, advice, Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, is there for you since 1851. They've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. Also, right now, while supplies last, they're having an end-of-season blowout on heaters and fireplace accessories. That's fireplace screens, ceramic heaters, outdoor fireplaces, LP gas heaters, infrared heaters, fireplace tools, hotshot SS outdoor fireplaces, propane convection heaters, and electric tower heaters. You can log on to the website at PensacolaHardware.com, or you can just go downtown and see what they have available at 20 East Gregory Street.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
PenAir Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting penair.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to penair.org/checking.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising this Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Always stay sharp, alert, and ready for anything. Let the exceptional team at Jim's Firearms help you find the everyday carry knife that fits your life. They have the best brands and the largest selection of high-quality knives to choose from with lifetime warranties. Get yourself a multi-purpose knife to use for protection, hunting, fishing, or for everyday use. Keys, wallet, phone, and knife, never leave home without it. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road at the back gate of NAS or shop them online at jimsfirearms.net.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Promise me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck?
Humperdinck!
Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
Stiegen!
Humperdinck! Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
I'm not listening!
Coming in. All right, Jimmy, let's give him traffic on the five. Sir, go ahead.
If you're coming in from Pacer Milton, you might be experiencing some slowdowns on the bridge. And coming off the bridge at the Scenic Highway intersection, southbound on Palafox Road, seeing some traffic build up between Tahar and Jordan Streets. Brent Lane is seeing some traffic build up all the way from North W Street to the I-110. And if you're heading northbound on 9th Avenue from Bayfront Parkway, we're seeing some slight build up downtown this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy, traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee says he plans to sign the bill that would allow teachers to carry guns. The State House passed that bill along party lines earlier this week. Colombia has become the first country to restrict the import of U.S. beef due to cows testing positive for the bird flu. The USDA announced on its website this week that the South American country is now banning beef products from cattle slaughtered in 8 U.S. states where dairy cows have tested positive for the bird flu. And a New Jersey company that produces a burger-making vending machine, Andrew, has landed a $1.5 million investment deal after the owners appeared on Shark Tank. The three co-founders of, and they have the best business name ever here, Robo Burger, went on the reality show recently and demonstrated their vending machine. It apparently creates burgers within just minutes. The two investor judges put up $1.5 million.
So, like, it's just outside of Walmart somewhere, you buy a burger for $5 or $10 or whatever it is. Is that the idea? We're not talking like it's inside the McDonald's and they're using it that way. This is a vending machine.
Well, it says it's a vending machine, but I've never seen a vending machine.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's, you know, pending, right? You know, that's a Shark Tank. So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm good. I go ahead and order the human burger. I'm fine.
Human burger?
No, well, you know, the human-made burger. It's not certainly
green
or anything.
We'd like a human-made burger for McKay, please.
That's right.
No robot.
Custom order.
No robot burger.
No mustard, please. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. A quick future news here. Trouble at USC, more protests on the way, or are people going to start behaving now they keep getting arrested?
More protests on the
way. Yeah, I mean, you know, arrest me makes me stronger, I guess. Mm-hmm. Will there be immunity for Trump of any kind after the Supreme Court ruling?
No.
I think there will be. I think they're going to give some nuance to this question. Yeah, I do, after the oral argument yesterday.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Floribama's mullet toss, which will feature state line revelers heaving dead fish for distance, prizes, and social recognition at the massive annual event this weekend. Despite being wildly popular, this annual festival of cruelty has finally gotten the criticism it deserves from the high priestesses of virtue at PETA. As president of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Ingrid Newkirk wrote in a missive to the Floribama, "Every fish whose body is treated like a hacky sack at this event was once an individual who had a life precious to them, swam free, had feelings, and didn't want to die." As she patiently explained to the recalcitrant leaders of the embodiment of Lower Alabama high culture, let's face it, every fish thrown by a Floribama mullet toss participant was an individual who suffered greatly and was violently slaughtered before being used in this disrespectful way. She's so right. Just imagine what the other mullet would think. If any of them could peek one shiny eyeball out of the water and survey the carnage of this truly gruesome spectacle in which thousands of nearly naked beachgoers take turns desecrating the recently unalived corpses of innocent mullet by throwing them for distance across the state line between Florida and Alabama. Knowing the depths of sensitivity and intelligence which all mullet demonstrate, I imagine they would be devastated by the spectacle. Now, once you realize that treating their murdered brethren and sistren and other fish this way is fundamentally wrong, is there some way to rescue the fun without engaging in the moral turpitude? Once again, PETA to the rescue, as they smartly offered to furnish the Floribama with a sufficient supply of reusable rubber imitation fish to use instead, as well as offering to cater the event with vegan fish sandwiches, making the fun inclusive to even those with the most strict of personal consciences. Once upon a time, people thought it was funny to throw citizens of non-average height for sport. We no longer do, and we can only hope that in the near future we will realize that we shouldn't throw anything with a face for entertainment. If you can't toss a dwarf, you shouldn't toss a mullet. That's the lesson, in short. So once again, our hats off to the brilliant and loving thought leaders at PETA for all showing us all a better way to beach. Woe unto all who offend. Second, the state of Florida. Again, this time for passing a law requiring that every Florida school child be taught the truth about communism every year. No! This is terrible news because, as you all know, we are deeply sincere advocates of this system of justice and reform. Long live the proletariat. But we just know that the right-wing dominated bigotopia of Florida will not treat this subject fairly. We fear that the Department of Education, led by Manny Diaz, will fail to focus on all the great things about communism, such as the way everyone gets to dress the same and not have to worry about individual personality and personal expression. They won't tell children how invigorating it is for the soul to stand in line for hours every day just for the chance to purchase whatever meat becomes available in the government-run grocery stores. They will never explain how comforting it is to know that your government loves you so much that it builds walls to keep you in, so you can enjoy the benefits of its highly evolved system of universal squalor, a condition of minimal subsistence exceeded in its glory only by the inability to pray and worship God unless the state approves of your religion ahead of time. They probably won't even talk about how wonderful it is to live in a system of rules that allow you the great joy of never having to make a real decision for yourself. You won't have to worry about having anything stolen from you because you aren't allowed to own private property. You don't have to worry about failing in business because the state owns and runs all the businesses. And as far as fashion goes, there are three different shades of gray to choose from. No, those horrible Republicans will probably only focus on things like political repression, state control of all media, denial of basic human rights, and the imprisonment and murder of more than 100 million people in so-called communist countries in the 20th century. As we all know, communism is a wonderful system of equality, justice, and virtue. The only problem is it's never really been done in the right way. And one of these days, we will definitely prove the naysayers wrong. After we execute them, of course. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, overly slow and overly fast music. As Ramzan Kadyrov, the leader of the Russian Republic of Chechnya, recently approved the Ministry of Culture's recommendation to ban the public playing of destabilizing Western music, which is either below 80 beats per minute or above 116 beats per minute. Yes, following a long track record of imposing strict Muslim values on its subjects, such as requiring headscarves, long sleeves, long skirts for women in public, stifling all political dissent, and denying the existence of gay men in Chechnya, Kadyrov's new rule will ensure that all music and dance productions conform to what he calls Chechen mentality and musical rhythm. As an example of music that is too slow, Taylor Swift's Lover and as an example of music that's too fast, Taylor Swift's Shake It Off and as an example of music that's just right, Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer. Yes, just like the Goldilocks she is, Taylor Swift finally got it just right. You see, this creates nice, stable boundaries of reason within which all music can be safely played at a medium, tepid speed that is neither depressing nor stimulating. Now, ordinarily, we would be very worried about the loss of female freedom, the lack of political dissent, the suppression of any people of the holy acronym string, and obviously, any negative mention of Her Highness Taylor Swift in any context at all. However, in this case, we see something very important to celebrate. Following a tradition in political philosophy that goes all the way back to Plato, Kadyrov is acting on a very wise premise. If you want to control a people, you must control its culture. And if you want to control a culture, you must control its art and music. As every great leader in modern history from Joseph Stalin to Mao Zedong to Fidel Castro to Benito Mussolini has shown, putting the government in charge of music and art is an essential form of virtue promotion. And what could be simpler than making sure all good Chechnyans only dance within certain rates of speed as a way of teaching them to submit to the wise leadership of their virtue overlords? Always remember your Porshinsky. In order for people to obey large irrational commands, they must first practice obeying small irrational commands. And what could be more irrational than deciding which music is legal based entirely on its speed? Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please take a moment to say a mantra for, or two even, for the brave students around the nation who are protesting on college campuses on behalf of the Palestinians in Gaza, and reminding the world what all enlightened people believe, that the Jews really do not deserve a country of their own, or to have security from terrorist attacks, or to exist. So obvious. Refreshments this week are provided by Give Pez a Chance, the nutritional digestive aid shaped like a child's candy that you can put right in your Pez dispenser and pretend to enjoy once a day. Made without sugar, or any flavorings, plus a triple dose of unsatisfying carob powder, Give Pez a Chance will keep you regular and healthy without any risk you'll actually enjoy eating them. Give Pez a Chance. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 News Radio 92.3. I remind you that they're all real stories. They are all real. Anyway, Jimmy's got